We've been working on an app for about 3 years, and we're going to launch it pretty soon. And I would call it a game improvement app. It's going to do a lot of things. It's very cool, and it'll do it in a different way. But in general, it's a social game. It's a game to have fun. It's a game to laugh. It's a game to, you know, give your buddy shit, and that's the fun of it. But I do think the better you get, the more fun it is.
There is a podcast brewing that's about to take over podcasting for good. The only podcast that you are going to need to tune into day in, day out, is the Member Guest Podcast.
If I can hit it down the middle of the fairway, that's great. But again, with the driver right now, the driver sucks.
And now!
John Daly, and you're listening to the Member Guest Podcast. Rip it.
All right, Brad from Why Golf, thank you for, this is now the second time that we've tried this due to technical difficulties on my end, our first time. So thank you for taking some time and making this work today. I'm excited to chat about what you guys are doing.
Yeah, my pleasure, Jordan. I look forward to it. I love talking about our business and talking in general, so. It should be fun.
Well, I should mention, so I was just down in Arizona this past weekend playing for the first time outside a few months. And I got to play with our mutual friend, Mr. Michael Leonard, and he said to say hello.
Oh, nice. He's such a nice man. Yeah.
Yeah, he really is. We were, I think he actually had the Y Golf alignment mirror out on the range. He's a Y Golf maxi like myself, which is how you and I actually got introduced. So, before we kind of like jump into all that stuff, introduction for the audience, yourself, and I'd love to kind of hear the story about how you guys got started before we go too crazy.
Yeah, my background, I've had a lot of careers in my life, and mostly around orthopedics. So if you see a knee brace on somebody, whether it's on a football player or after a ski accident or whatever, those were probably my brother's and my original patents back in the early 80s. So we're kind of the father of, knee bracing. And then we went into cold therapy in orthopedic. Cold therapy meaning where you have a bucket, a cooler with ice, and it circulates water through a pad to after surgery and after injury to reduce inflammation and pain and things like that. So you'll see thousands of those devices out there now as well. So came up through orthopedics. Sold my business, sold one business in 1987, then started another one, sold that in 2003 to one of the top 10 orthopedic companies, then stayed on for quite a few years there, did a turnaround for them, was a group president, and then tried my first attempt at retirement in 2009. I was a total failure. And started a couple of restaurants. I have to do something, and that didn't really, you know, fill any needs for me. So, the parent company that bought my company asked me to come back there as the CEO, and they're a NASDAQ company, as I said, multinational, top 10 orthopedic company, and to kind of turn things around, it was in trouble. And so I moved to Dallas, and I was born in San Diego and lived in San Diego my whole life. A little bit in LA when I was young, but moved to Dallas, loved Dallas, really, really enjoyed it. Was there for about 7.5 years, did everything I wanted to do there, got the company fixed and turned around and all those sorts of things. And then said, okay, I need to do something else. It was time for me to, you know, I'd done what I do best, which is startups and turnarounds. If it's just day-to-day operating a business, even if it's a large business, that just doesn't do much for me. I need the adrenaline rush of fixing or starting things. And so, you know, I've been passionate about golf for a long time. I had in the early 2000s, I had a simulator with a launch monitor in my garage and things like that, and started studying the golf swing. You know, for me, the journey is the fun and learning is the fun. And, so, because it's not, you know, it's really not on the golf course as much as it is, you know, the whole process of learning. Cause you know, the game is so frustrating, you know, for all of us. And so by getting a little better, incrementally better and learning and things, it's just more fun for me. So I started doing that a long time ago. And then came up with an idea for a product because I was a typical over the top, didn't move my, turn my hips kind of guy. So I came up with an idea for a product that you actually mount to a wall or it comes on a stand. And it was called the Swing Trainer. And it's an interesting device. It was technically pretty advanced because it was like pulling down on a cable, like a cable machine, except it had the reverse. It was the most force was at the top, and then it got less force at the bottom, and where the cable came from would move over like in a golf swing. It was a pretty cool device. I had it at the PGA show, probably before COVID, but it was just too expensive. And so that one didn't really take off. I didn't really push it. And then we started coming up with some ideas of things that were simpler and more of the average golfer could use and see some improvement, you know, with that, without a lot of effort. And so we've been selling now for a little bit over 3 years at Y Golf. We've grown exponentially. We've got, I don't know, 12 products or so. We've had quite a few products that went to market and then we pulled them off the market. They just didn't hit, you know, just didn't hit the nail on the head. But we're very happy with the lineup we have now. We've got some new things coming out. So it's a passion for me. The other thing is I work with my brother. We've worked together most of our lives. And that's a lot of fun for me at, you know, my age and having that opportunity. So it's fun to come to work every day. And then I work with people like Jamie Cheatham, who, you know, played Division I golf, and his brother, and young people that are around me that make it fun too. And some people who can play some golf. So I'm having a blast and it's seems to be working. And, you know, so that's kind of the background.
Yeah, that's the story. So now when we get to unpack it, so you said you've been selling for about 3 years, which is interesting because I must have first found you all, I would say about 3 years ago. And my first line of questioning goes to, and you mentioned it, having a simulator in your garage, or like, you know, if you're somebody like myself who practices a lot and really enjoys the journey outside of just playing all the time,
right?
I've got a simulator with every training aid under the sun. And when I was, you know, Googling training aids, I was looking for different kind of packs and all this different stuff. And I think originally I was looking for, you know, kind of like a swing trainer. And clearly, as you know, and I've probably done a ton of research on, like, there's a million ways to do it. And, you know, I started with like alignment sticks. And then the first product I found of your guys was the alignment disc, right? With the different like degrees all around. Then you put the stick in, you can kind of change the different planes for what you're trying to do. And so that's how I was introduced to you all and your product at Y Golf. And so my question is, obviously COVID, I think just, I've said this a million times, the golf world exploded, seems during and kind of post COVID. But for you all, as you're coming up with different, you know, training aids and practice, practice aids or whatever you want to call them. Obviously it's a competitive market, but what's like the key to making it simple, but also effective, right? Cause like you can go and find something to help a swing. And like you said, you could probably spend like $2,000 on maybe one of those things that like might take you 10 hours to assemble, and then you end up only using it one time. Then you can go find other things on Amazon. The reason I like you guys is because I feel like you found a really happy medium with like simple, easy to use, but very effective, and also doesn't take up too much space, right? Yeah. So that, like my question, how do you find that? And how do you kind of, you know, what's the equation for making the perfect, call it practice or training aid?
You know, so my brother and I, between us, we have about 100 patents in orthopedics and now in golf training aids. And the one thing you learn over the years, it's a lot easier to design a complicated product than a simple product. You know, the master of that was Steve Jobs. I mean, they would bring him a prototype. He said, take the rest of those buttons off. I don't want to see any buttons or just one button. I mean, he was a master that it's really difficult to design simple. It seems like that would be easier, but it's not. So we spent a lot of time thinking about it from a user standpoint. First of all, with training aids, most of our customers, they want to hit balls with the, you know, while using the training aid. You know, they don't want to just swing and, you know, they'd like to hit balls. You know, so we try to focus around that one. That's one of the things with our training aids. So they can use it on the driving range. They can use it in their, at home on their simulator. And then we just go through iteration and iteration and iteration. So I'll give you an example. We've got a new product that we've been working on for, I would say maybe close to probably 9 months or so. And it's for wrist extension, basically. So it'd probably be called Wrist X or something. And it's unique in that you can adjust where it makes a sound and where it doesn't and some things like that. And I think the wrists are kind of becoming the new shallow. You know, we go through our trends. Oh, we're shallowing now. Now we're doing this. Now we're doing that. I think wrist conditions, quote unquote, is going to be a new one as well. And I see why. So when I talk to instructors and they see somebody at the top with their, you know, if they're right-handed and they see they're left-handed, you know, in this sort of position, the only way they can get back to the ball and touch it is to kind of come over the top. So getting that left wrist flat, keeping the extension in your right wrist if you're right-handed, is kind of a precursor to even things like slicing. You know, why do we slice? So you kind of ask the question of five whys, and eventually you kind of get to an answer. You know, well, why did that? Why that? Why that? And you know, some of it goes all the way back to your takeaway and your wrist and things like that. So anyway, with that design, I'll bet you we've gone through 30 prototypes.
Wow.
And
in nine months, you've gone through 30 prototypes.
Yeah. We 3D print things and, you know, and then when we're satisfied and we're getting close, I got some great feedback when I was at the Golf Magazine top 100 retreat this year. We sponsor it every year and work, you know, talked to Chris Como and different people and got some great feedback on it, which once again, we were almost at the end and then we altered a little bit, based on some, you know, some of the best minds in golf in the world. And so, yeah, we've got I'm going to be picking up parts today or tomorrow. I hope to have the next round just to show some of the guys at the PGA show next week. But it takes a lot of effort to keep it simple. And this one's a little bit more complicated, a little more prototypes than usual. But we're sending them off to pros, teaching pros. They're using them, giving us feedback, things like that. So it ends up simple in its design, but it's not simple in the design process. That's where we spend the time and energy. And I really focus on, well, let me back up. If I think about our training aids, the most popular training aids we had are the alignment disc and the pressure plate. The pressure plate for just shifting your weight. Both of them you just throw on the ground and you step on the pressure plate or you put a rod in it. You know, the simpler, the better. We have the arm alarm, which I personally use more than any other product that we have, and that's to keep your elbows together and things like that, because I have a tendency to have a chicken wing and, you know, or as I'm starting down, my trail elbow will stay behind or go behind instead of come in front. And so I wear that when I play, and to me, it's an extraordinarily effective product, but it's a little bit too complicated for a lot of people, and I get it. I get it. So we've learned that lesson over time, and we spend the time to simplify as much as we can. And the simple ideas are the ones that typically work the best. And, you know, if you don't mind, I'll share a story with you. When we were designing knee braces, there was only one, this is in the early 80s, there was only one knee brace on the market. It was made by Lenox Hill Hospital in New York City. It was made originally for Joe Namath, the quarterback for the Jets who had bad knees. And this thing was a piece of aluminum and it had rubber and it was just a nightmare. It's like, you know, wearing the thing was like wearing an alligator. It was just awful. And when we started designing braces, one of the ads we put out was, we showed a picture of that brace in the back of a closet on the floor. And I said, it's not going to do anybody any good here because, you know, people wouldn't wear it. And it's the same thing with a training aid. If they're not going to use it, it's going to sit there and it's not going to do them any good. So I learned that lesson very early on in my career, and we try to carry that through to Wygolf.
Well, so then how do you decide kind of the, maybe I'll call it like groupings or areas of training aid too, right? Because you know, when I'm scrolling through Instagram or Google it or whatever, you know, I kind of think of things like, you know, there's putting training aids, there's full swing training aids, there's chipping, you know, there's speed as well, right? Like you think of like trying to get just speed with your swing. How do you decide like what's, I don't want to call it like most important, right? But like, you know, in my mind, I would just think that, you know, making like a speed training aid might be, you know, easy. Like, again, I haven't done all the research on this, so I have no clue. I'm just thinking of like, you take something heavy and you swing it, like you find a good way to kind of like to measure it, right? Or like I think of, you know, maybe putting drills like that you see the pros do. Like I really loved your guys's, not only the mirror, but I think it's called, I think you guys actually named it the putting thing, you know, like the gate that you go through and you make it like harder or easier.
Yeah.
I use that thing quite literally every single day. And so how do you guys choose, you know, what realms to actually make training aids? And obviously you're probably thinking about future things, and hopefully I'm not like leading the witness here, but you know, how do you decide what you're making and what you're like, nope, this isn't our realm, we're not going to do that?
Well, some of it is because we just get ideas from the outside. So a lot of it's just kind of happenstance, but I do think about the golf in segments: driver, full swing, chips and pitches, greenside bunkers, and putting. That kind of put them into five buckets. And if we can kind of cross over all of those, that's ideal. But I'll give you a perfect example. So you saw, you know, Michael Leonard with the alignment mirror. Well, the alignment mirror is new. So I've created, I met Don Sargent from, he's the head of instruction at Scioto in Ohio. Met him at the Top 100 meeting. Just a terrific guy. And he came up to me at the PGA show last year and had a, I don't know, it was like a piece of cardboard with an aluminum foil on it, talking about the benefit of alignment, seeing your alignment, your shoulders, your knees, things like that, for a full swing, not just when you're putting. And so I said, yeah, let's work on a product. And that product took us, we got it to market, and we spent, you know, we were pretty focused on it. We got it to market in November. And he came to us at the end of January last year. But that idea came about because he brought it to us, and you know, the concept. And it took us a long time to figure out how to make the mirror convex, how to make it work. We added the alignment rods, which he had, that wasn't part of his concept. And so, you know, some of it happens that way. Some of the products come from Brian Henninger and Amy Simonton up in Portland. Brian was on tour for years, won a couple of events, and he's a top instructor, and his business partner is Amy. She's got, you'll see her all over Instagram with us. She's got an unbelievable swing. It just pisses me off when we play because she's literally half my weight and she hits it, you know, 20 yards past me off the tee.
And she's the one demoing the training aid, and she's probably like the last person that actually needs them, right?
Yeah. But she's so, I mean, she was an Oregon State champ. She played at D1, played a few LPGA events. But she works on her game and she uses the training aids. And even Brian, you know, you'd think, man, the guy's got an unbelievable swing, but he needs the help. And we're working on the new WristX product with him, and he needs it. So they're testing the prototypes and he's using it himself. So doesn't matter how good you are, there's still things that kind of drift off and you don't know it, or you could improve. But the ideas come to us. They've had some ideas that the alignment disc came from them. A few other things, the arm alarm ended up coming, you know, kind of morphed into what it is from some requests. And then, you know, and then from my own experience, I'm fortunate enough to be like a 10 handicap. So I can relate to the people who are frustrated and want to get better, but are, I guess, good enough that it's worth the effort. You know what I mean? I kind of fall into that category because I don't play very often anymore. I don't have the time right now. And I love to practice, but I don't have time to do that. So, you know, I've gotten down to a 6 or 7, and that's the best I've ever gotten. And, you know, with some concerted effort, and I'm never going to be a scratch. I'm probably, could I get to a 5? Maybe, but you got to pay your dues. You got to, you know, and so for me, I have the benefit of kind of the same frustration that a lot of the majority of golfers have. The majority aren't low single digit. The majority aren't 20 handicapped. They're in that 10 to 15, 10 to 18 range, 10 to 20 range. And so I can relate to them very, very well. We have a whole series of training videos coming out that I did with Brad Ott, who's the director of instruction at TPC Craig Ranch, where they play the Byron Nelson. He was on tour for many, many years. And Amy and Brian got over 80 videos in it. And I'm in it because I'm asking them the questions that the average golfer should ask. So let's say, you know, Brian's talking about, well, you want to keep your hands neutral. I say, wait, okay, what does that mean? Keep your hands neutral. Or, you know, wrist condition. What does wrist condition mean? You know, things like that. And they're going to all be part of it in our app, which is going to be coming out here before long. And, but I can relate to everybody. So I can ask those questions. I can be the every man out there, the every golfer out there. And that, I think that helps us a lot. And, you know, when I think about my game, where do I need to improve? Then I'll think about different things. The putting thing, as an example, came to us from Anthony Pallucci. Anthony's played on the Latin American tour. He played at SC. You know, he was number one junior in the world at one time. And we belong at the same club here in Southern California. And he saw him out on the green and he was using a different putting aid. And he said, can you do something to make this better? And he was really helpful. I mean, great guy, number one. Number two is he's very technical, very technical. So that thing went through a lot of iterations to get where it is, the putting thing, because he was so particular about it, which I loved. We'd bring him one. Well, what about this? What about that? And so, you know, ideas come to us in various ways. I made a long answer out of that. Sorry about that.
You don't have to apologize for anything. I love to listen because I'm a consumer, not only of your product, but also somebody who, like one of the kind of missions of the podcast has always been, you know, myself, my co-host who just became a new dad. So he's on paternity leave right now. But, one of our missions has always been like, we're two guys who love the game. And if we could, you know, kind of redo everything over the last 5 years of all the like time and money that we spent to get where we're at today, right? It's like anything in life, you do it all over again, you'd probably do it a lot more efficient. You'd probably save a lot more time, you'd save a lot more money. And but, you know, that's the journey. And so right. A lot of it too is just, you know, like understanding all of this stuff, and being able to communicate to our audience and our friends and our family who, like you said, are probably somewhere in that realm and they want to get better. And it's like when I can confidently go to them and say, hey, I've tried 10 different things. Here are the two or three that I think you should actually look at and then make a decision on what you want to use. Like, that's the value that I like to bring. And not only to, you know, everyone that we talk to and people that listen, but like myself too. I'm like, hey man, like I've tried this before. I don't need to go try it again. Like, right. I know that it doesn't work.
Yeah.
You know, so there's a ton of value in it. And my $1 million idea for you that I would love is combining the putting thing with the mirror. Like they're like actually putting through the gate, but while looking at your setup, right? Because I have both of them. Mm-hmm. And they're on kind of separate areas of my putting mat. I've got kind of the, you know, 3 footer for, you know, my mirror, my alignment, like setup always got to look good. And I've got maybe like the 10 or 12 footer for the putting thing. And I'm just focusing on start line. And so I've always thought, man, like if you combine those two things, like you look at your alignment, then you're also putting it through a gate. Those are like the two main things that you're always looking at. So yeah, maybe that's the homework I got to give you.
It's an interesting one. Yeah. I will be on it this afternoon.
This afternoon. All right. I'll test out your prototypes.
The one issue that we'll have, but it's a relatively minor issue. To make it strong enough, it's got to be thicker, you know, and you want it as low as possible to the ground. And so we went with the, you know, it's called 6061 T6 aluminum, which, you know, aircraft aluminum, but it's used everywhere, but it's very strong and it's very thin. Because one of the things that we're trying to do is keep the putter down, you know, as close to where it would naturally be. When you get into the mirrors, they end up probably about an eighth of an inch thick. We're about half that thickness. That's really the only downside. We can make it all work from there. And if they're using a mirror now and they're used to that thickness, then it's not a problem. So we can do that.
Yeah. No, it's an interesting one. And like, you know, everybody, it really is, I think, one of the cool things about golf in general is that And like you said at the beginning of the episode or our combo is that, you know, we all watch the big tournaments, you know, we watch, you know, I'd say most people turn in Saturday, tune in Saturdays, Sundays, but ever since kind of, you know, YouTube, golf, you know, social media stuff really, I would say, elevated the sport. I think a lot of people find joy in seeing what the pros do outside of those 4 days a week that we watch them, right? And seeing, you know, how all of them practice a little bit differently, maybe to get to the same end goal, right? Like, you know, you watch Cam Smith and what his routine on the putting green is. Like, he just puts down two tees, right? Like the Tiger drill, same thing. Like, that's effectively the putting thing that you're talking about, just, you know, kind of more dummied down, if you will. And then you see some guys out there and they've got strings set up when they're trying to, like, you know, be playing under that, right? And so, yeah, like the Hideki. And so it really is this, like, I find it so interesting to watch how the best players in the world practice. And the one thing that I always come back to is that they're all ultimately practicing the same thing, just kind of in a different way, or a different way to do it.
Yeah. So when I think about the golf game, if when you think about, if you want to, it depends on what you want to accomplish personally. A lot of people just want to go hit balls, which is terrific. I love hitting balls. But if you want to really reduce your score, if you want to reduce your index and bring your scoring down, you're going to work, you should work from the hole backwards, other than the driver you got to keep in play. But I mean, 40 to 45% of our shots are on the green putting. If you want to save the most strokes, and I think the stroke is important. I think the green reading for the average golfer is more important. They don't have a chance of making it because they're not reading it correctly. And so, you know, that's why we have the slope plate and, you know, we have the green cards and things like that. So when I think about it, I would start from there and work my way out because, you know, that's where all the scoring, I mean, a missed 4 foot putt is the same as, you know, a drive in the woods, you know, same penalty.
Yeah, no, it's funny that you say that because, whenever you talk with somebody and you hear them, they'll say maybe they play an older person or a guy at their club that, you know, has been around the game forever. And the common theme is always that they can chip and putt out of their minds, right? And as a player myself, that, like, I, you know, yeah, I had golf clubs when I was in middle school and stuff, but I never played. Like, really, I truly never really played until after college and I got addicted to it. And the reason I think fell in love with, I assume you've heard of Decade. Oh, yeah. I mean, like, kind of the mental,
Scott.
Course management. Yeah, I've had Scott on multiple times. I could just, if I could just consume his brain, I wish I could. And it's basically the Decade methodology. But the reason I love it so much is because he always talks about giving you a decade's worth of, like, experience and understanding of the game, like, in one kind of philosophy. And that's kind of how I think of chipping and putting. Like, if I had been playing golf for 20 years, think of all the, you know, the more shots that I've had, the more practice that I'd have, the experience that I've had in all these different situations, but I don't have that.
Right.
Right. And so, like, what are the things that I have to practice or have to learn in order to, like, catch up to those 20 years of experience? And that's where I think just, you know, the practicing and kind of all these different training aids come into effect. And the other thing I always have a conversation with people about is, to your point, like, a majority of golfers that are probably that 10 to 15 handicap, they didn't play high school golf.
No.
They didn't play college. They didn't play any type of competitive golf. And I think, you know, as an individual who played sports as a kid, I played kind of your typical baseball, football, basketball, mm-hmm. right? And when you go back to, you know, your middle school days, like, you remember the basics.
Right.
Right. You remember, like, getting taught how to dribble, how to shoot a basketball, like, what a pick and roll is, all that stuff. We never learned, like, you don't really learn those basics when you're in your 20s, 30s, and 40s about golf. And then when you talk to someone who played high school golf, they already have this just general understanding of, to your point, like, yeah, I would work on chipping and putting a lot more than I would on, like, my full swing, because, you know, that's how I ended up getting good, or all those things. And so, you know, it kind of goes back to the coin of, like, okay, if you're going to practice, how do you actually make the most of your practice time, what are you going to work on and what are the things that, you know, that are actually going to make a difference in your game?
You know, it's interesting. You listen to the tour pros that when they come out on tour, they get mentored by guys who've been around a while. So even at that level, I mean, have been through incredible competition, Q school and, you know, NC2As and, you know, amateur, you know, all the amateur tournaments. And yet they get on tour and these guys are still telling them secrets. Some of them are about the golf course, you know, what to do, what not to do. And some of them are about, like Tiger talking about hooking a chip. I mean, you know, hooking a chip. Yeah, he was showing somebody that. So they learn, so it never ends. And that's one of the things I think is the best thing about this sport. No matter how good you are, there's a couple things. One is you're equally frustrated because you could always done better. Number two is there's always more to learn. Number three is everything's different every day. So it doesn't get boring. It, you know, so, I mean, that's the things that I love about the game. I love learning. It's interesting though, you know, with practice, if somebody just enjoys going out and beating balls, good for them. Go ahead and do it. You know, without a purpose, without trying to get better, and they just like beating balls, I'm okay with that. You know, everybody says, oh, you shouldn't do that. You should pick a target. You go through your routine. Hey, if you want to hit a bunch of balls, maybe that's how you blow off steam or you know, relax, go for it. I'm all in favor of that. But if you want to get better, then you have to have a focused practice and you have to, you know, do a few things. One of the things, and not in terms of a advertisement per se, but in terms of things that I think that are important. We've been working on an app for about 3 years and we're going to launch it pretty soon. And I would call it a game improvement app. It's going to do a lot of things. It's very cool. And it'll do it in a different way. Cause you mentioned Scott and Decade Golf, you know, things like greens and regulations, fairways hit, even strokes gained, is a marginal benefit to an average golfer. Now, knowing what your tendencies are and being able to communicate that to an instructor or get advice through the app on how to fix it, I think that's a different level. And that's what the app will do. One of the things it'll do is we've got an unbelievable AI that will, it'll take your performance and it'll tell you what you should do and why. And, you know, reference our videos or, you know, or just in general, the shot tracking is a whole different way of tracking shots than has ever been out there. Very, very simple, very cool. And the interface, to your point earlier about keeping things simple, you know, I look at the golf apps that are out there and, you know, a lot of them are, you know, so much good work into them. But if you want to collect, you know, the more data that you want to collect, the more input you have to put into those things. And what we've tried to do is keep the input as absolutely as fast and as simple as possible and intuitive. It'll also do scorekeeping eventually. It'll keep track of bets. Eventually we'll run tournaments through it, you know, and all sorts of different things. It's got our green reading system, a digital version of that in there. So it'll tell you exactly how much your putt's going to break. And, it's got a lot of really cool stuff. And the thing that I use the most, being the sick golf junkie that I am, it's got a whole thing on swing thoughts. So you can track your swing thoughts. So, I mean, it's like a sophisticated notes for golf where you put in it's, and I break it down by driver, full swing, greenside bunker, chips and pitches and putting, and you put in your swing thoughts and you can reorder them. You can have as many as you want in there. You can, hey, this one's not working anymore. Move it down the list, move this one up. It puts a date stamp when you put it in there. So you know, and I use that thing all the time. Now, like the better golfers, like Jamie Cheatham, who's a +5 handicap. He doesn't see as much value in that as I do, but you know, if you go out and practice once every 2 weeks or play every, you know, once a week, you forget what you did the last time that worked. So just keeping track of that. But anyway, it's kind of a sidelight that I use it for that all the time. And we'll see it. I think it's going to be, I don't know how, you know, if I can monetize the app, how well or not, but I think there's a shitload of value in it. I really do.
Yeah, no, I aside from, you know, the podcast, I'll start to just send you some of my ideas in general, because I think just this is, I don't want to call it a problem. I think it's just more the evolution of the sport and having more people play it and being one of those sports that, to your point, the amount of data entry that you can get from a golf swing and rounds, you know, if you, I'm convinced, you know, I tell all my friends this, whether it's decade or something, if you just logged, call it fairways hit, greens in regulation, numbers of putts or numbers of putts per round, and you just did that for like a year, and then you put all that in and it kind of spat back at you, you would immediately be able to figure out which part of your game you should work on, right? Like, and again, back to my point, like I know this because I did it. And decade was such an eye-opener for me. I've said this example multiple times. I thought that I was just like an average driver of the ball based on did I hit the fairway or not.
Mm-hmm.
And I came to realize that I hit it far. And generally speaking, nowadays, I keep it in play. And on average, I gain strokes off the tee. It's actually my chipping that is atrocious. I didn't know how bad it was. You know, I just thought that if I hit it, you know, call it 10, 15 feet, like that was a good chip. And like, actually, that's really bad if you're chipping from, you know, 20 yards, hitting it to 15 feet. And so it's stuff like that. And ultimately, back to my point, I think that just, you know, the future, in my opinion, of where the sport is going, I think, you know, call it simulator golf, if you will, is it, as people get more access to lower costs, call them, I don't want to say TrackMans, but, you know,
launch like monitors,
simulators, yeah. Launch monitors, and having all of that data in your phone and being able to kind of get into the numbers of your swing and where you need to work, that is just going to catapult the, call it practice, the training, and kind of the tracking of stats in the golf world. And as it gets more simple, I think whether it's, you know, apps like yourself, like you guys are about to put out or others, people are going to find a ton of value in that. And then imagine if you can take all that data and then put it in an algorithm like the guys at MyGolfSpy have, and you could say, hey, here's all of my data for my driver and my 7-iron this year. Tell me which club head and shaft is the best for my swing.
Right.
Right. Instead of having to go do a bunch of iterations of like fittings and then play it on the course, right? Like it's backed up by millions and millions of shots and data. I think that's where the sport is going. And big manufacturers might not like that, right? Because like they're just, they're marketing their driver heads and all this stuff, not really based off of data for a specific type of player and their swing speed and all that stuff. So I will be very interested to see, you know, the next 5 to 10 years of the sport and how that, you know, how that changes it.
I think it's really, first of all, there's so much information out there and it's so conflicting, the information. I mean, in one magazine, you could see three different tips that contradict each other. I mean, I think trying to keep it simple, but using information that is of value to them, that they can actually implement a change, I think is huge. I agree with you. I think, you know, knowledge is power. And if you don't know, so the first version of the app, I gave it to a friend of mine and he thought, you know, he was always working on his swing. So in this version, it told him after one or two rounds, exactly where he's losing his strokes. And it wasn't there. It was in his chipping and pitching. And he went from an 11 to a 7 in, you know, in 6 weeks, just working on his chipping and pitching. But he didn't even know it. I mean, I look at my round the other day and I can tell you exactly where I lost my strokes and, you know, and where I need to work. I can drill down and see exactly, you know, why did I miss? Oh, went this direction, that direction, and what to do about it. And then I can literally ask it, you know, based on my performance yesterday, what do I need to work on? And it'll spit out exactly everything I need to do. So keeping it simple, keeping the data entry simple, but inclusive enough that you can get good data, really good data. I'm a believer in, it's more important to know the shape of your shot than where it ends up. You know, am I pulling it? Am I hooking it, slicing it, pull hook, pull slice, things like that. Greens, a fairway hit doesn't really tell me much. You got to bounce off a tree and bend in a fairway, you know. It tells me something, but it's not enough for me to work on something. Okay. So, oh yeah, I hit, I hit 6 out of 14 fairways today. Well, what do I work on? Where did the other 8 miss? Why did they miss? What did you do? Things like that. So I think getting information, and this you'll be able to just share it with your coach. He can watch you play live if he wants to and see exactly what you're doing and what's going on. So when you go to a training session, you could say, hey, here's my last 2 rounds. And he's going, oh, you know, here's what you need to work on. It's obvious, you know, that sort of stuff. So,
oh yeah. Yeah. No, I think it's genius. I mean, I feel like it'll be relatively easy to find a way to monetize it, whether people are just buying it once and they get access every year.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, consuming and kind of upgrading or whatever it might be, but I'm surprised that it hasn't gone in that direction quicker. Mm-hmm. And I think a reason for it is just that things have taken off so much. It almost feels like the sport has for the big manufacturers almost become a money grab over the last 4 years. It's like, how quickly can we get all these new golfers, you know, the best technology that's going to go the furthest and going to go the straightest. And people have neglected the time they spend with
fundamentals.
The fundamentals, or mm-hmm. getting a lesson from somebody, or getting properly fit for clubs instead of just going and buying something off the rack. And I think the market's catching up to that now. And I feel that way because I see a ton of the ads, I see a ton of the stuff, and it feels like, okay, this is where it needs to go first. And golf is such an interesting sport, to your point, that I gave this analogy the other day. Everybody plays the same position, right? Everybody's just a golfer and his number's the course. It's not basketball where you're like a center or point guard. It's not baseball where you're like a pitcher or a hitter, or football, right? Where you're offense and defense. Everybody's the same, you know, person, and they've got to take on the course, and they've got, kind of to your point, those 5 different things they have to work. And I think a lot of people realize too, generally speaking, if you're a really, really good driver of the ball, you're probably not a good chipper and putter. If you're really good chipping and putting, you're probably, and those things are related. And so it's all about like getting as good as you can at kind of the 5 things. And it all comes back to, you know, and I love plugging you guys. Like, it comes back to, how do you practice? You know, what's the time that you're taking to practice? Are you practicing the right things? Because you just go bang ball. To your point, you don't know.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Jordan. There's a couple things. It's, are you practicing the thing that's going to reduce your scores the most? 7 p.m. Oops, sorry, that was my Apple Watch. Are you practicing the things that's going to reduce your strokes the most? And in general category, you know, chipping and pitching or putting or whatever. And then how are you practicing? Are you practicing based on what you're doing or based on what you're seeing on Instagram that you should do, or a YouTube video or whatever? So I think that's all interrelated. If you're going to spend the time, you should spend the time doing the things that are the most effective and efficient. And so hopefully we can do that. You know, it's interesting, the whole golf industry, we're all selling the same thing. We're selling hope. That's what we sell, right?
Hope and lower scores, right? Like, hope and lower scores, and ideally more fun. Lower scores is fun.
Yeah. That's the other thing that I think is still missing. And it's a part of your mantra, is you got to have fun out there. You got to have fun. If you're throwing clubs and you're frustrated, yeah, we all get frustrated sometimes because we're competitive and, you know, we played sports and we get it. And, you know, we think, what a stupid mistake or whatever, you know, but in general, it's a social game. It's a game to have fun. It's a game to laugh. It's a game to, you know, give your buddy shit and that's the fun of it. And, but I do think it's more fun the better you get, the more fun it is.
Yeah. It's like anything, right? You're going to have more fun if you're achieving the things that you set out to achieve, or, you know, everybody obviously lives for that kind of hole in one. I'm still seeking mine, but I mean, that's what makes the game so amazing. And, I can confidently say the stuff that you guys have made over the years has helped me. I got my dad one of the bundles for Christmas, and he still uses it. I actually have 2 alignment discs in my garage. So I set them up. You know, I have 2 of them. I created like a plane.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So I swing like through it.
Yeah.
Very cool. Yeah, I'm all in. I'll send you a picture sometime of my setup. But I cannot thank you guys enough. I hope that we get to meet soon. I'm not going to the PGA show this year. I'm hoping to go next year. But quite frankly, I didn't think like the podcast was going to get this hard. We're still here. So next year, I'm looking forward to going to the PGA show and, you know, seeing where like the industry is going. I imagine you guys are always keeping tabs on like what's coming and what's next. And I hear that it's a great show to go to just to see, you know, what's like coming next in golf.
Yeah.
Because after watching TGL, man, I was blown away with like the technology and the things that they can do. And putting aside my thoughts on, is it fun to watch people hit balls and do a screen and a competitive ball, all that stuff. Just the stadium, the rotating green, the stuff that they're doing with the simulators and like the tracking of all of it and like the, you know, 10K images and holes, like, man, we could be looking at like the future, like indoor golf, maybe becoming as popular as outdoor golf for people like me that lives, you know, in a place where I can only play 6 months out of the year. So it's pretty cool stuff.
It is, you know, an analogy to that is this last year, I love Formula One. So I follow Formula One and Max Verstappen, who in last year won 19 of 23 races. The same weekend he won, I can't remember where it was, he won Formula One race. He won the World Simulator Driving Championship. How unbelievable is that? I mean, you're competing against everybody in the world on simulators and you win that and you win a Formula One race in the same weekend. So it's the same sort of thing that we're talking about here. It may very well go to that, you know, simulator golf and, you know, and, I think Topgolf has been great for the game as well. You know, anything that makes it easier, makes it more fun. You know, you can eat and drink while you're playing. I'm all in.
Yeah, we'll see. It'll be funny to see like the translation between, call it the, you know, best in the world outside versus the best in the world inside.
Yeah.
And like, you know, I don't think they're tracking it necessarily that way with the format, but you know, if they ever did go to kind of solo stuff, like, you know, is Scheffler going to be the best on the simulator? Like, I don't know. Like, he's a wizard because of, you know, he's able to adapt to the different courses and the greens and the speeds and all that stuff. When you're in a controlled environment like that, you know, maybe somebody like Hideki that a lot of people think just has like, you know, the perfect robotic swing on autopilot all the time. Maybe that's the guy that does better indoors. So it'll be fun to track for sure.
Well, you know, we're very fortunate. I'm extremely fortunate to be involved in golf and just to have fun and, you know, work with people I really enjoy. And so it's all a gift to me. So I'm thrilled.
Yeah. Well, keep up the good work. I'll continue singing the praises of Why Golf. It was an honor to have you on the podcast, and I'll be sure to keep my eyes out for the app and all the new stuff that you guys have coming out, because so far it's helped my game, and I know it's helped some others that I've put on to it. So I really appreciate the time.
Oh, my pleasure, Jordan. Thank you for inviting me, and we'll get you on the beta for the app. We'll get that to you real soon.
Yeah, I'd love it. Yeah, I'd love to test it. I'm always putting stuff in Decade and every app trying to find, you know, whatever edge I can. So I'm happy to be a user for you guys.
Terrific. All right, Jordan. Thank you so much. Awesome. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Thanks, Brad.
All right.